Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning after a 9-hour drive to beautiful Branson, Missouri, asking the Lord God to watch over all of those members of the Table of Life Ministry who will be traveling this morning, asking God to give them strength, perseverance, and all that they need in their travels. And I pray, Father God, for angels of traveling grace and mercy to surround each and every vehicle to bring them safely to their destination. Lord God, as we pray this morning, we ask you to increase and decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and my redeemer. And Lord God, I pray special prayers this morning for children that have health issues, Lord God, asking you to help them, to heal them, to guide them, to lead them to health, a long life. Father God, I thank you for your grace and your mercy over our children, Lord God. For your word says, suffer the children to come unto me. Father God, we pray for all of our children traveling today, those that are here today. And Lord God, I ask you to watch over families today. For Lord God, families are the core of every ministry and the core of all of our lives. For family is everything, Lord God. And we thank you for our families. And as you watch over families, Lord God, we ask you to guide us and lead us in the direction of you. And Father, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and my redeemer. And I ask you, Father God, to increase as I decrease. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, Lord, I thank you again for bringing me to my destination safely and securely. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. You know how God will take you to one of those things that you fear. I don't like hills. I don't like driving on hills. I don't like riding on hills. Hills are one of the things that gives me that feeling of wanting to just kind of throw up. And where am I today in the hilliest place that I've ever driven in, called Branson, Missouri? And I just say it's beautiful, but it's a lot of hills. So I asked God, I said, okay, Lord, don't let me look up. Don't let me look down. Just let me look where I need to look. Not too far and not too close. Because going up a hill the other on our way here, it was like looking at a roller coaster and thinking, I'm about to go up that hill. And then all I could do was just reach out and pray, because my stomach started feeling funny. I started getting a headache, and I'm like, okay, God, I know this is an attack, and I rebuke it and bind it in Jesus' name. So I rebuke and bind in Jesus' name fright of heels today and this weekend, because I am strong and I am courageous, because that's what the word of God told me to be strong and courageous and not to walk in fear. So I refuse to walk in fear this morning or this weekend driving around on these hills of Branson, Missouri. So I'm thanking God and I'm asking God to watch over each and every person that travels on vacation today. Because everyone knows that COVID is not over. Unfortunately, it's not over. So all we can do is pray. Pray for those that are ill. Pray God's covering over our children as well as our seniors. We ask God to watch over them, to cover them, and Lord God, to keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger, especially from this horrible plague. You know, so I just say that, people of God, we need to pray and know who we belong to. We belong to God. The Father is in charge of everything we do, everything we say. And the word that God gave me for this morning is, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. And we all know our proverb, you know, to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. That's what we have to do. Even in the midst of me and my heel, I trust in the Lord. And I trust in the Lord that he will bring the group that I am meeting safely here. I trust in the Lord that he will protect his children from this horrible plague. I trust in the Lord. We have to trust God that all our bills will be paid. We have to trust God that everything we must do for him will be done decently and in order. So let's trust God today and give him honor and give him our absolute highest praise of hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to the Most High God. So let's get started, family. And today, we're going to do it a little bit different. Instead of being in the Old Testament, we're going to be in Psalms, Proverbs, and New Testament. And we will come back on Sunday with our Old Testament word, but actually it will be on Monday instead, because I will be doing a different devotional within my room for Sunday. And I will include you all in my Sunday word from my girls in the room that I will be in on this trip with my mom. So I just say we will be a little different on Sunday, but today we will be in Psalms and Proverbs and Acts, and we'll be back in Second Chronicles on Monday. So Monday will be our Old Testament Chronicle word, and we're actually going to do today, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday's New Testament word and Psalms and Proverbs. And then on Monday, we will be all in Old Testament Chronicles, Second Chronicles. So we pray, Father God, please add a blessing to the hearing and the reading your word. And we're going to start in Psalms, which is where our title is coming from this morning. And the word of God is in Psalms 84, 8 through 12. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts, oh, I love this word, is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of the wicked. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Oh, bless, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. And that is where our title is coming from this morning. Psalm 84, verse 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Who do we have to trust? We got to trust God. It's so easy to trust in everything, but to trust God, we must trust God. And as we continue in our Psalms, Psalms 85, 1 through 7, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Lord, you have been favorable to your hand. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Restore us, O God of our salvation. Cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. Ooh, that's a word. I got to read that little part again. Will you not revive us again? We need a revival, family. We need a hallelujah, praise the Lord, revival. Souls need to be saved. People need to know truth from lies and have the discernment for it. We've got to ask God for a revival. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. Praise God. We got to ask for these things. You know, you have not because you ask not. We got to start asking God. Lord, grant us your salvation. I want to be making sure. I want to make sure before I leave this earth that everyone in my family is saved. I want to be not a talking, walking billboard. I want to be saved, sensibly filled with the Holy Spirit. Then we can walk and talk and be a billboard. You know, we got to make sure that we got our life right. And I pray daily, Lord, help me to have my life right. Keep my tongue behind my teeth when I need to be quiet. Help me to be quiet. When I need to speak, then allow me to speak. Psalms 85, verses 8 to 13. I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. Come on now. For he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But notice this, to his people. You've got to know God to hear him speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathways. Can y'all say praise the Lord with me? Praise the Lord. Psalms 86, verses 1 through 5. A prayer of David. Let us pray, family. Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me. For I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant. For you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Hallelujah. We got to call upon the Lord today. Father, we call upon you today, asking you to guide our footsteps, asking you to take us where we need to go, asking you, oh Lord, to hear our prayer. In the name of Christ Jesus, hear our prayer. As we continue, Proverbs chapter 26, verses 6 through 8. Getting treasures by a lying tongue is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. The violence of the wicked will destroy them, can you say amen? Because they refuse to do justice. That's a word that some folks need to be hearing around the United States right now. The violence of wickedness will destroy them because they refuse to do justice. They refuse to listen to truth. And it goes on to tell us, the way to man is perverse, but as for the pure, his work is right. Anything you need is in the word. Any word you need to speak is in the word. Anything you need to tell somebody is in the word. And as we continue in Proverbs, verse 21, verses 9 through 11, better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. That's for us, ladies. We can't, you know, especially our married sisters. And even those that are roommates, you cannot be contentious. Always hollering, fussing, and acting up. Folks don't want to be in a house with a contentious woman. We got to be calm. We got to let our husbands know that we are loving and kind. Because contentiousness brings about nothing but craziness in your household. And I'm speaking from being a wife of 32 years, I learned not to be a contentious woman, because you will have peace in your home when you learn to be quiet and keep your tongue behind your teeth and speak only when God says to speak. And as we continue, it says, the soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. When the scoffer is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. Come on now. We got to receive knowledge. And who do we receive knowledge from? We receive it from our most heavenly Father. And as we continue, Proverbs 21, verse 12. The righteous God wisely considers the house of the wicked, overthrowing the wicked for their wickedness. We got to be careful. We have to be careful that we do not allow wickedness into our homes. We got to overthrow it. We got to bind it. We got to rebuke it. We got to send it right back to the pit of hell from whence it came. For we are men and women and children of the Most High God. And we got to trust and believe in him in whatever we do. Trust in the Lord, y'all. Proverbs 21:13-14, but shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, will also cry himself and not be heard. Understand? And that's for some legislators out there who are out there right now trying to find every way they can to keep from helping the poor. But yes, they want to get every kind of break they can, because most of them are the very wealthy. That's how they took their bodies to the congresses and to the houses and to the state houses and to the local houses so they can make the laws to benefit themselves. And if they are, and if the poor are in the way, then so sorry. You know, I took my girls that are traveling with me. When we went to pick up my mom, I took them through my hometown and show them where I used to live, which is no longer where I used to live. All the houses are gone. All the businesses are gone. It's now a complete justice complex the police department, the jail, county jail, the courthouse, the annex for probation and parole and all of the correctional everything sits on the two blocks that I used to run around on, that I used to play on. It's now the prison industrial system. And it's like looking back and seeing that had my parents still been alive, they would have been put out of their home because of county wanting the property. And so the county has the property. And it's like, wow, look at what can go on. And as we continue here, it says, a gift in secret pacifies anger, and a bride behind the back strong wrath. We got to pray. We've got to lift up. We've got to believe that all things are working for our good, because we are trusting in the Lord God. Again, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. And I have some life lessons from our psalm and proverb. And our psalm life lesson, and again, for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And we are coming out of the New King James Version. And when I say life lessons, life example, life questions, answers to life questions, the commentary comes from Dr. Stanley. And so the scripture is, of course, our word, and the commentary is from Dr. Stanley. And I'll say this is what Dr. Stanley says, so you know it's be not mine, but Dr. Stanley. And so this is what Dr. Stanley says for Psalms 84:10. I would rather, I grew up every Sunday saying this verse in my church and surrounded by my village, you know, the village of women of God and men of God that poured into my life, my godparents, you know, the extended aunties and the wonderful teachers and people of God that were in my church. And every Sunday I remember standing boldly and saying, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. And I took that to heart as a child, that I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. And I still stand by that word. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I'll be whatever God asks me to be, because I want to be a servant for the Lord. And it says, since we were made for an intimate relationship with God, anywhere with him is better than anywhere else without him. We find deep and ultimate satisfaction only in him. And I'm like, you better preach it, Dr. Stanley. And I'm going to say his word one more time because it touches even my heart. Since we were made for an intimate relationship with God, anywhere with him is better than anywhere else without him. We find deep and intimate satisfaction only in him. Hallelujah. Can we say hallelujah, y'all? That's a word. You know, you said I can preach that. Yes, you can. Psalms 85 and verse 6. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Spiritual revival, just spoke that earlier. Spiritual revival is not only about getting right with God. Even more, it's about returning to a place where we can delight in God, where we can joyfully celebrate his goodness and love and mercy. Ooh, I thank Dr. Stanley for that word, because that just touched my heart. We need revival. You have to go in and be renewed, revived, and restored. We need that time with just us and God. Revival, restoration. We got to be restored and refreshed in our walk and in our time with God. Hallelujah. I'm looking for some miracles in my life, and I know that I got to have the right spirit in me, a godly spirit, a loving spirit, and refuse to allow the sneaky snake to slither in to put confusion in your mind and in your heart. You got to say, nope, I rebuke you right now. I'm trusting in God. I'm trusting in my daddy. And I know that everything is going to work out for my good. I'm trusting in my dad. Psalms 85:8, he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Salvation, this is Dr. Stanley, salvation not only rescues us from the penalty of our sins, it delivers us from the impulse to practice our sins. Paul said, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Philippians 3:6. I can't wait till we get to Philippians. I love Philippians. It's a great word of God. Paul lets the Lord use him mightily in Philippians. And I am excited when we get there. We're still got a ways to go, but in our New Testament word, but we will get there. God willing, as we say, in the creek don't rise. Now, please join me in the book of Acts as we start Acts this morning. Again, a great word from God. And we are in Acts chapter 19. For those that are just joining us, we will be in Acts chapter 19, chapter 20, and chapter 21 in the book of Acts. And then we will be in Chronicles on Monday. On Sunday, the word will be just a little bit different. So please join me on Sunday as you have devotion with my entire room and with the women and men of the table of life. We will all be having meditation on the same word in every room. So I'm excited about that. So we will be blogging. I will be blogging what will be spoken in my room to all of you so you can join us on Sunday for devotion. Again, a little different than what we're normally doing on Sunday. We'll be back to our regular words. We'll be in 2 Chronicles on Monday. But as for today, let's go into our book of Acts. And again, it's Acts chapter 19. And we are starting at verse 21. And it says this, when these things were accomplished, Paul proposed in the spirit that he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Eurychius. But he himself stayed in Asia for a time. And about that time, there arose a great commotion about the way. Because understand, we weren't called Christians at that time. We were called members of the way. Because what was Jesus? The way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father but through him. So the way is what the faith was. And it's the way it is now. We cannot get to the Father but through the Son. But it was called the way. Or a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupations and said, men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands. So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised, and her magnets to the destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. Idolaters. And they were getting upset because they was making gods by hand. And Paul was talking about, or what they put it, the unknown God. Paul was telling them, listen, y'all, this is not the way to salvation. Worshiping a piece of metal, a piece of wood. Come on now. What can a piece of wood and a piece of metal do for you? Nothing. You just worship in thin air. But when you worship the Most High God, you can see his miracles. You can see his signs. And you can see his wonders. All you have to do is do this. And what do you have but the air that you breathe? And it comes from the Most High God. Because now when they heard it, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. So the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Artrestius, Macedonians, Paul's traveling companions. And when Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples would not allow him. And some of the officials of Asia, who were his friends, sent to him, pleading that he would not venture into the theater. Some, therefore, cried one thing and some another. For the assembly was confused, and most of them did not know why they had come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander motioned with his hands and wanted to make his defense to the people. But when they found out that he was a Jew, all with one voice cried out for another 2 hours, great is Diana of Ephesus. And when the city clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, men of Ephesus, what man is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is temple guardian of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Zeus? Therefore, since these things cannot be denied, you also be quiet and do nothing rashly. But you have brought these men there who are neither robbers of temples nor blasphemers of goddess, of your goddess. Therefore, if Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a case against anyone, the courts are open and there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you have any other inquiry to make, it shall be determined in the lawful assembly, for we are in danger of being called in question for today's uproar, there being no reason which we may give to account for this disorderly gathering. And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. And we understand. It doesn't take much for an angry mob to lose their mind. Good people, honorable people, can get caught up in a lie, caught up in deception, and can find themselves caught up in a mob doing horrible stuff. Folks that would never have thought to do what they did it, because they got stirred up by somebody with a secret and personal agenda, which has nothing to do with the betterment of anybody but themselves. And understand, Demetrius, he wasn't doing anything for the people of Ephesus. It was all about himself, because he was losing money, because people were getting saved. And what did it say? For a certain man named Demetrius, A silversmith who made silver shrines of Diana brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He was like, wait a minute now, this way, they messing with my money. And understand, you got politicians that say, oh, wait a minute, this election, I lost. They messing with my money. And they get folks all stirred up because there are so much conning going on. Nothing but conning, doing conning things to get folks off their square. So you find yourself worshiping idols instead of worshiping the one true God. We got to know and ask God, give me discernment. And it took one person to say, well, wait a minute, y'all. Y'all about to get out of here and up in here. Let them bring charges against one another. And that's what it said. But when you done lost every charge, then you're going to try to do it some other way. And that's what Demetrius was doing, getting ready to stir folks up to do something wrong. That's how people get killed. That's how folks lose their livelihood and their lives because they got caught up in the crowd. And I just say this, and it's not to say anything disparaging, but the truth of the matter is, that's what happened during the 20s. That's what happened after slavery. When you would see crowds of people around black people hanging from trees. With picnic baskets. You gotta understand. It's easy to get caught up. Good people doing horrible things. And people who say they know God, but are in the crowd of doing of people doing horrible things. But this is what it says in our Word of God, the Assembly, Acts chapter 19, verse 32. The Assembly was confused, and most of them did not know why they had come together. Angry mobs are generally not good places to reason out disputes. When Paul wanted to speak to the volatile crowd to reason and persuade as well as was his custom, the disciples did not let him because they understood they would have tried to kill him. You cannot reason with anger and folks getting lathered up. Because it only takes one person to get folks all off kilter, all out of their square, saying and doing things that they would never, ever have done in their right mind. And understand, it's always a sneaky snake in the bushel to come out like a viper and bite and create poison through the whole body. We got to be very, very careful who, one, you allow in your pulpit, and two, who you allow to get into your ear. God is wanting us to be godly men and women, to speak truth to power, to say that is not right and that is not of God. And I tell you, there's a lot of false prophets out there right now, false teachers out there right now, lathering people up. To hate each other. You know, trying to get us all messed up on critical race theory, which is nothing. Don't listen to that mess. It is a nothing argument. It's a nothing word. It is a law term. And I say it again. It is something taught in law school, not in the schoolhouses. What we as men and women of God have got to teach is love theory. To love your neighbor as you love yourself. Not worry about what somebody looks like because it's not important. What is important is, do you love God? Do you love God? Because when you love God, you can love your neighbor and it doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter what language they speak. It does not matter. concerned with your inside. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 20. And it says this, after the uproar that had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia and Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia. Also Archippus and Secundus of the Thessalonians and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy and Tychius and Trophimus of Asia. What, did they have some names back then? And it says, these men going ahead waited for us at Taurus, but we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Taurus, where we stayed 7 days. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, all ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain young man named Atticus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from a third story and was taken up deep. But when Paul went down, fell on him and embraced him, said, do not trouble yourself, for his life is in him. Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed, and they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. When we went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, there intending to take Paul on board, for so he had given orders, intending him to go on foot. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene. We sailed from there, and the next day came to Chios. That following day, we arrived at Samos and stayed in Trigallium. The next day, we came to Miletus, for Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. What a word, y'all. I mean, it is a word this morning. And as we continue, I'm all filled up. Acts 17 through 18 of chapter 20. And then we'll go back and get our life lessons in if time permits. And it says, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I've always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, that was helpful by proclaiming to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. No, he said repentance. We must repent. Lord, forgive me if I have said anything, done anything against your divine majesty. For Lord, I am your humble servant. We must pray on a daily basis asking for forgiveness. We must repent. And as we continue, it says, and see now I go bound in spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, salvage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, also from among yourselves men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw you away, the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Hallelujah. Can I say it again? It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Paul was telling them, I know that I'm going to give up my life for Christ. I know I'm going to give up my life for the way. I know that I'm going to die for my faith. The question is, are we willing to die for our faith today? Because there will be persecution. The word has already told us it's coming. Will we stand up and say, for Jesus I live and for Jesus I die? For the Lord God I live, for the Lord God I die. For I am a spiritual being and the Holy Spirit is within me. Because there's going to come a time where you're going to have to speak the truth. I am a child of God. And I will not denounce him for all the riches of the world. I will not denounce him for a piece of bread. Hallelujah. Will you have that strength? Will we have that strength? Acts chapter 21. Verses 1 through 17. It says, now it came to pass that when we had departed from them and set sail, running a straight course, we came to Cos the following day to Rhodes, and from there to Petoria. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, and landed at Tyre. But there the ship was to unload our cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. When we had come to the end of those days, we departed and went our way. And they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we knelt down on the shore and prayed. When we had taken our leave of one another, we boarded the ship, and they returned home. And when we had finished our voyage from Tyre and came to Ptolemais, greeted the brethren, and stayed with them one day. On the next day, we, who were Paul's companions, departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters. Who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul around his own hand and feet and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Now when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." So when he would not be persuaded, we see saying, "The will of the Lord be done." And that's what we say every day. God's will. In our life, God's will. After those days, we packed and went up to Jerusalem. Also, some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us and brought with them certain masons of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we were to lodge. Nason, I think is what the name, Nason. And when we had come to Jerusalem, the brother received us gladly. Understanding, Paul understood that his days were numbered. All of our days are numbered, and only God knows the number. But God wants us to understand that we are his. We are his children. We belong to him. And his grace shall abound. His grace shall abound. Got to rejoice in God. We got to take up our cross and follow him. But when we follow Jesus, everything else will fall in place. And this is, and I'm saying this, don't let anybody get you all caught up. Well, if you're a Christian, you're going to be rich. That's not the truth. You will struggle, just like everybody else. But you will struggle in peace, knowing that God has got you covered. And that everything will work out for your good. If, and that if is in there, you trust in the Lord. And the life lesson this morning is this, as we continue in Acts. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. "Nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus." And Dr. Stanley says, Paul found his life by losing it and loved his life by not counting it dear. He had learned from his Savior to love God's will over everything else. And he realized that obeying him yielded the greatest choice. We may not like what we see, but when you yield your life to God, God will take care of you. Who will get filled up? God will take care of you. I've seen him work. Acts chapter 20, verse 27, "I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." Hallelujah, the whole counsel of God. We got to call on the name of Jesus in everything we do. "I have not shunned or declared to you the whole counsel of God." And Dr. Stanley says, why would we ever hesitate to declare the whole counsel of God? Because some of it is not very popular. Some of it requires a change in behavior. Some of it is inconvenient, but to avoid it leads to destruction. You better preach it. 20 verse 35. "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." I believe that. I've been blessed and will be blessed to be a blessing. And it says this, none of us is what Dr. Stanley says. None of the four none of the four gospels record this saying of Jesus. Apparently, it circulated among the disciples and eventually made its way to Paul, but it carries just as much authority as the Lord's other sayings. Hallelujah. Thanking God for blessing his children to be a blessing to others. And as we continue, it says, Acts chapter 21, verse 13, I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. The potential loss of his life did not dissuade Paul from doing what he believed God had called him to do. He fit the mold of those described in Revelation 12 and 11, who did not love their lives to death. Hallelujah. And it may one day be all of us. If we continue to allow crazy to reign. And as we continue in our word, it says, the will of the Lord be done. Can y'all say that with me? Acts chapter 21, verse 14. The will of the Lord be done. Acts 21, 14. I'm saying it one more time so it gets into your remembrance and into your highlightables. The will of the Lord be done. Paul could not be talked out of his dangerous plan because he was convinced it was God's plan. Paul's friends had to end up where Jesus did in the garden. Not my will, but yours be done. Luke 22 and 42, when Jesus prayed, your will, not mine. And that's what Paul was determined to die for Christ. Now, God sent a prophet and told him what was going to happen. So he had a choice to do what God had told him to do or to hide, run, and not follow God's will. But he did what God told him to do. And that's what we must do, what God tells us to do. And God will give you an insight on what's going to happen. When you do what I tell you to do, he sends the prophet to press confirmation. That's confirmation that you already know God's going to do what he's going to do. All we have to do is watch as well as pray. Watch as well as pray. And as we continue in this word, it says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. So keep trusting in God, family. And before we get out of here, as every day, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for this morning is this. Sometimes your only available transportation is a leap of faith. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. And what did we just talk about today? Trusting in the Lord. So that leap of faith is your trust. So keep trusting in the Lord and have a faith-filled Friday family. As we leave this morning, please join me on Sunday for a little bit different service than what we normally have or moving forward. We will be back in our daily word on Monday, and we will be in 2 Chronicles. So thank you so much. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that we trust in the Lord and we have faith. We are taking those leaps of faith. Hallelujah. So pray for your sister as she goes up and down the hills, because it's going to be all faith. And trusting in the Lord that I don't lose it. Thanking you all for joining me this morning. Have a blessed day. And again, thank you for your prayers. We arrived safely at our destination, and we had a great traveling experience. So thank you so much. Be blessed, family. As we say, I'm moving forward. It is a wrap. Thank you so much. Be blessed and have a wonderful day.